You got on mute.
Now I've got it on.
I'm blaming my friend Mark. He's got me all discombobulated. All right. Good to see each one of you here. Let's look at question number 8. I'll read the question. We'll give the verse, then we'll talk about it. This woman's worth is far above rubies.
31:10.
A virtuous woman, Proverbs 31:10, who can find a virtuous wife, for her worth is far above rubies. As I was looking at different sources on this passage, someone said this. The words, who can find, does not imply that noble women do not exist, but that like rubies, they do not exist in abundance. So I like that. If I knew the person's name, I would tell you, but I didn't. So I quoted it from one source, but I thought that was interesting. When we talk about the virtuous woman, we've got actually 10 is the beginning that goes through the rest of the chapter giving the qualities of who the virtuous woman was. But when we have the idea of virtue, I've got this definition, basic definition, goodness, right action and thinking, good moral character, chaste. One of the examples I used for the virtuous woman from the New Testament, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. And as we look at the characteristics of the woman, those of you who have daughters, they need to look at the man that he has good characteristics. So again, we're not saying one needs good characteristics, the other doesn't. They both need good characteristics. Tammy, you want to read that for me, please, in the book of 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10. All right. Here what we have, when young people, and it's not only young people, because older people get married too, what's usually the primary thing they begin to look at initially? Appearance, right? But what Proverbs 31 is talking about is character. And again, much more important than appearance. Not that the woman being chosen doesn't have good appearance, but that shouldn't be the primary focus. The primary focus should be character, because those of us who are married, we realize you go through ups and downs in marriage. So you want to have someone who has character, so the virtuous woman. And like I said, and maybe I didn't go into detail, when I say anyone can get married, I'm just saying, you can find someone who will marry you. Would you agree with me or disagree? But that doesn't mean it's going to be a good marriage. So again, the man needs to look for characters like this. The lady needs to look for characters that are going to be a provider and just a whole host of other things there. And the problem with that is this, from my perspective, sometimes, more so the ladies and the men, they just want to experience the wedding, because they're looking forward to the wedding and all that goes along with the wedding. And the wedding's an important part if they want to experience that. But that's not going to make a good marriage. So you've got to be careful there. Sometimes the men only look at the fleshly aspect of it. And again, in Corinthians, remember, if you can't restrain yourself, you should get married, but that shouldn't be the sole purpose of it. So this is, and again, we stopped at verse 10. You know, far above rubies. I was doing some research, but I didn't go further. Rubies are still very precious, are they not? Now, I thought I read, but I can't confirm this, so I might be wrong. Someone had stated that they're equal to diamonds, but maybe not. I guess the strongest gem would be the diamond. But the point is, rubies. You got to look at it. You don't just rush into something. Anybody want to comment on this? And it's open for the floor. Yes, Bob. Remember, your wife is sitting right next to you.
And I want to say that. Well, I looked at some more Proverbs. Proverbs 12:4.
Okay.
Proverbs 12:4 says, a worthy woman is the crown of her husband.
Absolutely.
Yes. And then also 19:14, but a prudent wife is from Jehovah.
Okay.
And I want to, you know, go toward, you said like anybody can be married, but, you know, it takes a special woman to weather the test of time, our finickiness as husbands, and also encouraging us, even though, you know.
Now, where does a young lady, where should she primarily learn this?
Her mother.
In the home, right? But let's be honest, a lot of homes aren't what they should be. And this is, well, now that doesn't mean you still couldn't have the virtuous woman, but we have some young ladies growing up that have no concept as to what that means. And sometimes they come into the Lord's church and they learn that way, but it really should be in the home. Could I preach lessons on that? Sure I could. But the most effectiveness is going to be raising up in the family, and especially if they have a role model in their own home. Anybody else? All right, let's go to question number 9. This house is built by, established by, and the rooms are filled with, what proverb?
24:3-4.
Proverbs 24:3-4. T, would you mind reading that proverb for us? 24:3-4. Okay, and again, as I look at this passage, it is my understanding he's not talking about a physical building. He's talking about a spirit, the family, is he not? So what I've put on my notes, I don't know what you have on your notes, I've got wisdom plus understanding plus knowledge, and that's what you get at the end. The end is what? Filled with what? Okay. Have you ever had some people, and again, we don't name names, have you ever known of some people that hated to go home? That's sad. And oftentimes, people like that will have children. So you can imagine what's going on in the family, that they hated to go home. Where if you have the type of home that this says, you're going to look forward to those situations. Yes, go ahead.
We come into church building, right down here, Tebow's packed.
Okay.
A bar.
And that's not exactly where you want to build a family or find a...
Food down there.
And that's true. That's true. Because we look at that, we look at the party life, and again, that's not going to establish the home. Again, those of us that have been married for any period of time know that, in fact, I had a whole series years ago, good homes don't just happen. Would we agree with that statement?
You gotta work at it.
You gotta work at it. And I'll go on to this. Good homes don't just come to being because you come to services. Now, I think we should come to services, but that's not gonna necessitate that it's gonna definitely be a good home. Unless what? Put unless. Unless they take those teachings and make it a part of their life. You know, we can read all we can about husbands. We can read in Ephesians and Colossians of wives. We can read about children. And these are biblical concepts, are they not? And we can hear illustrations and lessons about that. But where is it put into play? At home. In the home. And see, the 1 or 2 hours or the few times we touch on it on a class like this, that's just the hem of the garment. So if we want to have that type of home that people feel comfortable, those of us with older children, does it not feel good that your children want to come back and be with you? That they, man, I'm glad I'm out of there. I don't ever want to go back there again. You know, how sad that is. But we have that in our society, do we not? And sad but true, we have that sometimes with some of the Lord's people. They play religion. What I'm talking about, plain religion, they put on a good show the 3 hours they're together, but God forbid, it's totally different once you get home. You know, you can deceive the membership, but guess who you can't deceive? You can't deceive God, And you can't deceive your children. You can't deceive your children. Right? Because they know what goes on behind closed doors. Now, when they see that, whether it be the husband or the wife or the quality home, they also have to see that we as parents, we fail sometimes. And when we do, we need to acknowledge that and let them know that we see this and we're going to make those corrections. Because if we act as if we never fail, that's going to lead a wrong impression. And I'm not saying we should dwell on our failures. And I'm not telling you absolutely I wasn't the perfect parent. I think there's some things I did that were right. If I had to go back, there's some things I would have done different. I wish God would have given me the wisdom I think I have now when I was 20, 25. But I didn't have that wisdom. Hopefully, my son and my daughter can say they were in good homes. The only thing that I scarred them negatively, and I see this clearly now that I'm a grown man, my daughter does not like spaghetti because every Wednesday we had spaghetti, or Tuesday. So she will not make spaghetti. So I goofed that.
Especially on Tuesdays.
Well, we used to meet on Tuesdays. Yeah, especially on Tuesdays. So there's a few things, you know, you get into a rut and you don't realize you're doing that. So I guess I would have had hot dogs some of those days, so they would have felt a little bit different. And there's some other things we see there, at least I see. And I'm not trying to puff her up because I'm going home with her. But she is the virtuous woman. She has helped me because I have a lot of emotions and she kind of keeps them in check. No, don't be, Mark, you created some of this problem. She keeps them in check and that's a good thing. By the way, I think you should have emotions, but you can't be controlled by emotionalism. Anybody else on that question? Okay, let's go to question 10. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than this.
21:19.
Proverbs 21:19. I'm going to have a man read that. Mark, go ahead and read that one. Okay. I want to read a few of the other verses. For instance, the NIV, New International Version, for this passage says, better to live in the desert than with a quarrelsome and nagging wife. So that even makes it a little bit clearer. One more version, English Standard Version says, it's better to live in a desert land than with a quarrelsome and fretful woman. And again, you say, well, how about the man? Well, men have problems like that too, but we're talking in this text about the woman. That it would be better for you to be out in the desert than to be in that home with that person because they're always nagging and fretful. Makes sense. I mean, this is common sense. You don't need a whole lot of commentaries. And it is funny, if you have commentaries on Proverbs, there's a lot of opinions, but not much to go other than other passages would say the same thing. It's not like some other passages we would study that there'd be a great detail of information. So it's just good old common sense. Now you think about this. This is similar to our question 4 about the rainy day and the contentious woman. I talk about rainy day. We had that a few days ago, didn't we? How'd you like the... Now, I'm glad we had the rain. How'd you like the rainy day? No. Wasn't fun, was it? And it's not fun to be someone who's wanting to nag, wanting to backbite, wanting to keep on telling them. And again, can that be the man also? So again, we're talking about the woman here, but we all agree this could apply to the man also. When I worked in warehousing, I worked with a man that I think he did more nagging than a combination of women. In fact, I didn't even want him in lunchtime because when he come in, he would stir up the whole group at lunchtime because of his nagging. If you weren't in a bad mood, you would be in a bad mood by the time you left there from lunch. Have you ever met people like that? So again, we're talking about the woman here, but not limited to the woman. Let's go to question number 11. Yes, sir.
Verse number 9 goes along with that same theme in chapter 21.
Okay, you're there. I'm not, so go ahead and read it.
It is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a contentious woman in a wide house.
Okay. But he's outside the house, even though it's a wide house.
I think that's a development of the man cave.
Okay, well. You want to get up? Here's the guy. You see how I'm very general on my statements, and he wants to push the envelope. So remember who's pushing the envelope. Steph, you remember that. Question 11. This wife does her husband good for this length of time. What proverb?
31:12.
Proverbs 31:12. Martha, you want to read that one for me, please? Proverbs 31:12.
She does him good and not evil all the days of her life.
Now, I've used this woman before, but she immediately comes to mind when I see this passage, and that's Abigail. Remember Abigail in 1 Samuel 25:14 through 33? How was her husband, Nabal?
A jerk.
He was contentious. He was not only contentious, he was a rotten man. And you know what would have been a very easy thing when she found out that he acted the way he did to David to say, let the chips fall where they may. But what did she do?
She played it on his behalf.
She hurried. She hurried and got things together and pleaded on Nabal's behalf, which spared his life at that moment from David. She fits, she could be the poster for this passage because she's doing Nabal good whether or not he does. Oh, that brings me the point. Well, I'll be good if he's good. You ever hear people talk like that? Well, if he'd do better, I would do better. No, that's not how it works. You do good and better regardless of what the other spouse does. But that's usually how we do it. Well, I would be doing better if my wife would treat me, and then you put, no. So in other words, we're excusing ourselves by pointing out to something the other person. This passage is not focusing to the other person. And notice, how long does she do good?
Her whole life.
Her whole life. Now, if we had women, as well as men, had this type of dedication, would we have more lasting marriages?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we would. Yes, go ahead, Ken.
Have you heard the question asked before? How much, what percentage should you put into your relationship?
And what would you say?
And what's the answer?
100%. And that's a good point.
Yeah.
You give the 100%.
What she's doing there.
You hope your spouse is doing 100%, but you can't control that. And if your spouse is doing 70%, that doesn't eliminate you. I'm glad you brought that up, Ken. That doesn't eliminate you from giving 100%. Again, that's easy for me to say now. We had a good day today. I just ate a good dinner. So it's a situation. I laugh, but seriously, it's when some friction comes in, we need to remember these lessons. I still need to give 100%. And if you do that, then you're doing it the way that God had demanded. Again, talking about the virtuous woman. Anybody on this before I move on?
The world says you give 50-50. In a marriage, it's 50-50.
Oh, don't start this. I'll talk to young people, and that's what they'll say, exactly what you said. And you know what I tell them? Your marriage is not going to work. Your marriage is not. If that's how you're entering marriage, your marriage is not going to work. Well, no one's going to take responsibility. Again, your marriage is not going to work. God had a motive for revealing this to us. That's why the man is the head of the woman, the wife. That doesn't mean he's to be a dictator. Don't misunderstand me. But there comes decisions he has to make. One of the problems you ask a lot of young ladies in recent years is they have trouble finding a man who wants to be a man. That's scary. They have trouble finding a man who wants to be a man. Now again, when I say wants to be a man, I'm not saying a dictator. Again, you want to see how a man acts? You do like Jesus did to the church. And if you do that, you've got a good life. But you have this, and you're right, Bob, you give 100%. You give your best. And you understand there's different roles in marriage. I'll give you a short story about this. I'm sorry, I know I've used up your time. My wife never thought she was marrying a preacher, because I never thought I would be a preacher. We both learned the truth after we were married. We could have bought something 15 miles away from her mom and dad. She made such a fuss, we didn't, because it was too far away from her mom and dad. Process of a number of years, we both became Christians, and unbeknown to her, I decided I'm going to preach. All right, she's all for that decision. But I come home one day and say, by the way, we're going to go to Minnesota this week, 400 and some miles away from mom and dad. We're going to go to Minnesota this week to talk to a preacher because he wants me to preach there. I'm not trying to Ella. She did not make a fuss. Not at all. Because she's going to be that woman. And I appreciate that. Oh, and then from there, after I got her mom and dad upset with that, then we moved to Florida, 1,200 miles away from her mom and dad. And you know what? She didn't fuss there. Now, ladies, here's the thing on that. When we first moved to Florida, now, women, pay attention. I gave permission for them to pick out our apartment. And they meant well. But they called us ahead of time while we're in Minnesota, never been in the state of Florida. And first thing my wife asked, what kind of bugs do they have? What was one of the questions? What did they say that those bugs were?
It's a little messy and they have some bugs.
But what kind of, I thought they said water bugs.
What kind of bugs? And she said water bugs. Well, I didn't know what water bugs.
Yeah, well.
And in Florida, they're roaches.
Yeah. So we come down, place is full. We open up the door, and there they scurry all over the place. She never complained to me, and I kept my mouth shut. I'm going to call the owner and see what we can. And we did get it corrected. But I just say that because she's the type of woman that all the days of her life, she's going to do what is good. And I'm grateful she has done that. So because she did not, when she married me, I worked in warehousing. And guess where a lot of warehousing is? In Chicagoland area. If you couldn't find a job in Wright, Mark, years ago, you couldn't find a job in warehousing, you couldn't find a job. So I have a forklift operator, warehousing. Well, I put that all aside. I'm preaching. And totally different than what. So again, and there's a lot of women in here that are like that. Thank God for that. But it's like the ruby. It's coming further in between. I got 3 granddaughters and 2 grandsons coming up. I've got a son. I don't matchmake. Ask Jake. I'm done doing that.
You can try.
but you got to pick them out yourself. And again, if you can't find the right spouse, it's best what? Not to be married. And by the way, listen carefully. There's no sin in not being married. And pay attention when you talk to a young lady. Don't make her feel bad if she's not married. Maybe she hasn't found the right guy. Maybe she doesn't want to marry. I don't know what the situation was. But marriage is not bliss simply because you said, I do. Marriage takes, and again, I'm happy I'm married. But it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work. All right, let's go to the next one. Better, 13. We did do 12, right? 13. Better is a dry morsel with quietness than this. What proverb? 17:1. Linda, did you want to read that for me or not? Proverbs 17:1. Yeah, I'm looking at you.
Oh,
Sherman, I may have goofed up your name, but I've not goofed up your wife's name yet. Okay, feasting. Yeah. Feasting sounds good. Who doesn't like to feast? But now what? Not with strife. Not with strife. Better to eat that old crusty bread where there's peace than where there's feast. Yes, go ahead. I asked you if I did 12 and someone told me yes.
Yeah, you did.
Okay, we're going back to 12. Thank you. Ruth, do you have the answer to 12? The question is, the wife's clothing is described by these two words. Yeah, you have... Oh, my. What proverb did you have for question 12? That's the right. Do you have it? Okay, so... Yes, ma'am. All right, and I'm not going to trust you guys anymore. Okay. All right, strength and honor are her clothing. So when we talk about picking the virtuous woman, where's the main focus? Inward, right? The inward person. And I tell you, that's really what's important. Because sometimes people might appear to be something that they're not. But if you've got inward character, that's going to come through, correct? So it takes, that's why you don't get married after knowing someone for 1 week. Because you're not going to learn a whole lot about their inward character in 1 week. Sometimes you don't learn much of their inward character after 6 months. Yes, go ahead, Debbie, I see you back there.
I think you and Bob are scaring the younger people about getting married.
Amen. Okay, did you hear what you just said at the end?
You think alike, you agree. People talk about, I work in the housing industry. People talk about building houses will cause you to get a divorce. When we build houses together, have built houses in the past, I'll bring something home and say, what do you think? You say, that's perfect. Then well, you bring something home and that's perfect. If you already think alike, it's going to be okay.
And I'm going to say, I agree with you because you made two words, with the right person. The key is to find who? The right person. And that's what becomes difficult. Hey, I'm happy when young people get married, but I want to see their marriage succeed. I don't want to see I do, and then 3 years later, they're done. Okay. Again,
think about that for a minute.
I want you to think what you told me. Right person. Yes.
I think even with the right person, a lot of times it's the outside forces, you know, that can make things difficult. As far as, like, you can be with the right person, but, like, Chad and I are both in law enforcement, have been our entire marriage, and that makes things very difficult. And so, you know, I think that, you know, we just have to be careful even saying being married to the right person. It still, you know, takes
work.
Work and dedication.
Mark, you never raised your hand. Now I'm scared to even call on you.
Well, going through her response, and I think being in law enforcement, both the husband and wife can be very difficult. But I also think that nothing worthwhile is easy. Anything you have to work at to make it perfect, you have to work as a team to have the success and to have a successful outcome.
Oh.
Anything worthwhile, you have to work towards. It don't come easy.
Okay. There. Debbie, you see all this conversation you've cast up?
It's true, though. Y'all are sounding scary.
I I'm not trying to be scary. I'm just trying to verify 40-some-odd years of seeing families left and right falling apart. That's the sad thing that I don't want. And it starts by making the right choice. Yes, go ahead, Daryl.
Yeah, and I think it too, it's important for those of us that are a little bit older and married and everything, but especially conveying to the young people and teaching our young people this, the world is so much different now. And the world is doing everything they can to make it more difficult on people to stay married. And it starts from going back to, I know it's been 50 years ago, but when I was a kid, everything was closed on Sundays. Mm-hmm. More people went to church because there was nothing else to do. I mean, I guess you could go to the beach or go fishing, but all the stores were closed. We didn't have 9,000 channels of TV to watch or anything else to draw people's attention away. And in terms of marriage, I remember when I was in seventh grade, one of my friend's parents got divorced, and everybody in the school most people were afraid to talk to him. It was so uncommon. And you had to actually go before a judge and give a valid reason to get a divorce. Now it's just, pay $25 or whatever for your divorce.
Yeah.
And so all of these things are working. And so what stems out of that is young people, they don't realize, they don't think of it necessarily as a lifelong commitment, even if you've tried to instill that in them. You have to work extra hard to instill that in them because society is telling them, if that first one doesn't work out, it's no big deal. Go to another.
Yeah.
If that one doesn't work out, go to another.
Yeah.
It's not like it was 50 years ago.
That's a good point, Daryl. That is, and I can confirm what he said about divorce because no great details. My mom was divorced when I was 4 years old, so that puts it in 1959. 1959, divorce was looked in a very negative light, even though... And my mom never, Susan can attest to this, my mom never spoke negatively of my dad, never. I learned about him as I got older and became he was a scoundrel. Now, she would never say that, but she got divorced, and like Daryl said, divorced was not celebrated, even though she had the biblical right. Divorce was not celebrated at that time, and I look back and now I understand what she was going through. When I was little, it made no sense to me. At one time, she tried to buy a house. This was in the early 60s. How much success do you think she had as a divorced parent buying a house? 0%. Whether or not she could afford it or not, this just wasn't looked that way. So again, Daryl's right. Our whole society, and Debbie, this is nothing, I don't want to scare people. This is nothing against society. It just, this is the society we're in. We are in a very liberal-minded, worldly-minded society, and we're trying to do it God's way because he ordained marriage, and society said, well, marriage is really not that important. Tony. Okay.
It's rare. Hey, this is what you do. Because I remember growing up, my dad always told me that if you date for a reason. You're dating to marry. You're not just dating. You're just going around here doing all this stuff. You're looking for your forever. So.
And that, okay, you're forever. But see, in today's society, people don't look for that. They look for the temporary, and that's where the problems come up. Mark.
And one more thing, and I assume everybody here this evening knows it. I think what has helped me tremendously over the years, and when we got married, I was not a Christian. Tim was raised in the church. I was very Catholic. But the stuff that we've gone through, what has helped me tremendously, other than having her as a foundation, the rock that she is having God in both of your lives and having that foundation to where you can work on that with each other to have success.
And that's a primary. That's on the top of the list, absolutely. And I'll never forget when Kim was a Christian, became a Christian, and she brought Mark. Mark was leery of us because we were too friendly.
Yep.
But I attribute God's power because it's the word that converts, correct?
Mm-hmm.
But I credit Kim because once she sets her mind to do what's right, she's going to do what's right. And she's a good person to be on your side when you're dealing with the battle, because it's book, chapter, and verse. But we're going to move on other than to say this. I'm glad Debbie brought up the point, because I don't want to try to say you should, you know, that marriage is, it just, if you get an opportunity, teach someone if they're getting married, it's a serious thing. And yes, make sure you, to the best of your ability, try to choose the right person. But if you're choosing someone who has absolutely no interest in religion whatsoever, may I suggest this? Don't think you're going to change them after you say, I do. Because it doesn't work that way. And if they do become converted, make sure they can become converted to Christ and not so that they can say, I do. Because I've seen like that. Jake.
I mean, I'm single, so I feel like I'm somewhat an expert in this.
Okay.
He thinks I'm an expert at it. I've never been afraid of being married, but I think it's good to be scared. I think you're better off to be scared of marrying the wrong person than being scared of being single. Because I think you're much better off being single as a Christian than being with the wrong person and trying to be a Christian.
Okay. And I'll leave his own comments to himself, because like you said, he's experienced it. And it's, anybody else? Debbie, I appreciate it. You got us going this evening. All right, let's get one more question before the second bell. Question 14, am I correct on this one?
No, we didn't really finish 13.
We started 13, but didn't finish. Ruth cut you off.
I want to be corrected.
If you wouldn't have said that, I'd have gone on to the next question. Okay, well, let's finish 13. We're not going to get to 14 tonight. What didn't I say in 14? 13.
17:1 and 15:17.
Yes. What about?
And 15:17.
Okay, well, he's given us some additional verses. Speak loud enough so we all can hear.
I also had 15:17 to go along with that same,
okay,
thought. So you want me to read 17:1 again?
Yeah, go ahead.
Right,
I've got it in my paper, but yeah, you can go ahead and read it.
Better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of feasting with strife.
Okay. And by the way, just think of Hollywood. Do they have a lot of feasting? Do they have a lot of mess, troubles?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, what was your next passage?
Oh, 15:17. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and a hatred therewith.
Tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor. So again, but we laugh. But the most precious relationship other than being a child of God is your family. Is your family. First and foremost comes God. But then family pops right up in there, doesn't it? But you leave God and his teachings out of the picture. And again, the wedding, I hope women who want nice weddings, I hope they have wonderful weddings. But I hope they understand they're going to have to work together, and I'm going to use your point, pick the right person and deal with the things that are going to come your way. Because it's not always going to be a bed of roses. Now, I'm not saying you're going to have thorns the rest of your life, but it's not always going to be a bed of roses. Okay, so I